WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities are searching for a motive following yesterday's deadly shooting attack at an ICE facility in Dallas. Security at immigration offices now stepped up.
Wednesday's shooting happened at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in a busy industrial and hospitality district.
It was weird when I heard that it was in Dallas.
Dallasite Joe Monroe.
And then to come to find out it's three doors down from where I'm working.
The sniper was on a rooftop about 500 feet from the immigration facility. Investigators say Joshua John was targeting ICE officers, but one migrant was killed and two were wounded. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The new top prosecutor for the Eastern District of Virginia is expected to seek a grand jury indictment against former FBI Director James Comey, sources tell ABC News, for possibly lying to Congress 5 years ago. First-time applications for jobless claims dropping last week by 14,000 from the week before. In all, 1.9 million Americans are receiving unemployment benefits. This is ABC News.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The social media post of a teacher at Oshkosh West High School was the catalyst for a contentious meeting of the Oshkosh Area School District on Wednesday night. A little bit of background on the issue. After the murder of right-wing personality Charlie Kirk, a teacher stated in a Facebook post that he disagreed with many of Kirk's beliefs. The post called out Kirk's divisive rhetoric, calling him a morally evil human, and stated, quote, "the world is a better place without his voice and his ideas," end quote. The teacher's post was primarily shared via social media by the Winnebago County Republican Party, igniting a firestorm of protests and commentary. The teacher ultimately removed his post and deactivated his social media accounts. Wednesday night, over 70 people filed into the Alberta Kimball Auditorium to speak. Nicholas Greasy was one of those who requested that the teacher be fired.
That teacher condoned an assassination. He supports political violence. He tolerates murder. This type of thinking and rhetoric is demonic. Some would say it's a mental health issue, actually. He should not be teaching our children. He should not be employed with taxpayers' money, and he should not be on the payroll at all.
Meanwhile, former student Carmen Remming cautioned against punitive action.
In this current case, punishing a teacher for private speech said on an outside forum outside of school hours sets a very dangerous precedent. It sends the message that any public educators in our district or even elsewhere are never allowed to have personal opinions, that their rights end at the schoolhouse door.
Following the 1 hour and 20 minutes of public comment, the school board took a brief break before resuming its agenda. It closed the meeting by going into executive session for the, quote, discussion of a personnel issue. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back to begin their final home series of the regular season against the Reds tomorrow night. The crew with a 3-1 win in San Diego thanks to an RBI by Bryce Terang and solo home run shot in the ninth by catcher Danny Jansen, originally from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Just feeling more confident at the dish. Tried to be on time with a fastball and got a slider kind of inner half maybe and just put a good swing on it.
College football, the Badgers have a bye week. Up next, they'll face number 19th ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Urban Meyer saying on a podcast Wisconsin could not afford to fire head coach Luke Fickell after his contract extension. The Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday night. Micah Parsons asks, how does he think he'll be greeted by the fans in Dallas?
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause, and there's no hard feelings there, at least for me, and I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. Best football you're going to get in Dallas when it's Sunday night against, you know, a rivalry opponent.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
Tons of sunshine not only today, tomorrow, but for the entire weekend and even into next week, and unseasonably warm, too. Highs today reach the mid-70s, tomorrow we slip to 70, and for the weekend, high temperatures flirt with 80. Enjoy it! I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy champ Ben Chan into the studio. He'll make the popcorn pick of the week. And Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar drops by to talk about his beard contest.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, September 25th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite at the World Headquarters, downtown Madison, intersection of State and Fairchild. It is great to be with you. A sunny sky, perfect autumn fall day. Mr. Zommers went up to Wonder Steak, got a little coffee here before the show. Blue skies, temperatures in the mid-70s, no humidity. It's one of those, is my favorite time of year in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm here for it. The no humidity is key.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Get out there and enjoy it, folks. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot says, nice weather going to last into next week. So get out there. Grab a hold of it, because come February, you'll be saying, why didn't I get out and enjoy the nice weather back in September? So should be a great afternoon, great couple of days. So enjoy the weather. Going to talk later on in this hour to Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Been a discombobulating week in state political news. New gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side. Some people call him. I think I'm going to start using that now, Zommers. Trump says, you know, some people are saying, many people are saying, they call him Toxic Tom Tiffany.
You know, many people are saying.
Many people are saying.
Goes, thank you for your attention to this matter.
Dan Schaefer will help us recombobulate, and we'll talk about the Bucks a little bit and the Brewers, because nobody is more Milwaukee on this show than Dan Schaefer. Well, maybe our next guest is as Milwaukee. And then in hour number two, allergy season is upon us, Zommers. Don't we know it? Fall allergies or spring allergies. What's worse? And at 3:35, Keegan Kelly, writer for Cracked.com, national publication, back on the show, talking about the return of Jimmy Kimmel on ABC this week, what it means for not just late night television and broadcast news, but free speech in this country. Keegan Kelly at 3:35. Also, hour two, another edition of Civic Media's Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest, your chance to win cash and prizes. But right now, no bigger. Well, why do you need cash and prizes when you have our next guest live from Milwaukee? He is a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, a Navy veteran, an attorney, and author. Our friend Matt Flynn joins us from Milwaukee. Matt, how are you?
Good to be with you, Todd. Looking forward to the Todd Albaugh Show this hour.
It's always great. Is it nice down in Milwaukee today as well?
Beautiful, beautiful blue sky, mid-70s. It's not going to last, Todd. That's the problem.
Fall is always the shortest season, right? I have friends that have a nice sailboat down in Lake Michigan, and I went down for about 4.5 hours. It was raining, so we just had to stay in the marina there on Lake Michigan. But my gosh, I mean, the shores of Lake Michigan by Milwaukee this time of year, beautiful.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. And the yacht club and the marinas are going to still sending boats out for another month or so.
Yeah.
The people have very, very strong stomachs.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into the top story of the day, Matt. I appreciate you coming on short notice. As some listeners to this program know, I spent a number of years working on military affairs for former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug. I did not wear the uniform, as they say. Matt is a Navy veteran. And so I wanted your take, your insight on this. Let's start with this story that I believe was broken by the Washington Post today. Headline, Hegseth orders rare, urgent meeting of hundreds of generals and admirals. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered hundreds of U.S. military generals and admirals together on short notice and without a stated reason at a Marine Corps base in Virginia next week, sowing confusion and alarm after the Trump administration's firing of numerous senior leaders this year. A highly unusual directive was sent to virtually all of the military's top commanders worldwide, according to more than a dozen people familiar with the matter. It was issued earlier this week against the backdrop of a potential government shutdown. And as Hegseth's overtly political moves have deepened a sense of distress amongst his opponents, who fear he is erasing the Defense Department's status as a nonpartisan institution. In a statement today, Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell affirmed that Hegseth, quote, will be addressing his senior military leaders early next week, unquote, but he offered no additional details. It was not immediately clear whether the White House is involved with the meeting or if President Trump also intends to be there. Now, apparently, skipping down the story a little bit by the Washington Post, what they're reporting is around 800 generals, flag officers of the U.S. military from all over the world are going to be brought to just outside of D.C. at Quantico, Virginia, for this meeting. Matt, I want to bring you in now because you can fill in. You've seen the article as well. Give us just I think this is important. People who haven't worn the uniform don't understand the purpose for chain of command. They don't always understand the purpose of why the military works as it does. As a veteran, as somebody who knows military history, explain your first reaction to this story by the Washington Post.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting. And let me tell you what is really happening. The military has always been nonpartisan ever since George Washington. Something like this has never happened. It didn't happen. Abraham Lincoln didn't do it. Dwight Eisenhower in the Second World War didn't do it. And all of the service academies who prepare officers drill it into everybody's head. We're nonpartisan. We're nonpolitical. Donald Trump is a malignant tumor, and this is coming from Trump. And when Trump speaks, Vladimir Putin is the ventriloquist. By bringing these people in like this, they are showing dominance. They're showing you have to be loyal to Trump. Trump already now interviews personally every flag officer to make sure they're loyal to him. This is contrary to American tradition. The second thing is what's going on is that with the government shutdown, Trump is now threatening to lay off a lot of people. What he may try to do, and this will also please Putin, Trump has betrayed us to the Russians, by the way. What he's going to do is he will fire some flag officers. And if he doesn't think they're loyal to him, to try to inflict pain. Everybody listening to this show must understand something. Donald Trump is an enemy of the United States. He's serving Russian interests. And by doing this, by trying to demoralize the chain of command, make believe you're an admiral or a general. You have a wife and kids. This is your career. You don't make a lot of money, but there's a lot of prestige in it. And you have a choice. You knuckle under to this guy or you lose your entire career. That's what's going on.
And to be, I have to be fair, our statewide listening audience, I know Matt very well. I'm going to say that. We spent a lot of time together on and off the air. Read his books, by the way. We'll talk more about that later. I know where this is coming from. But to be fair, Matt, I think there might be people say, well, geez, Flynn, that's some pretty strong language there. But to back you up, there is reporting, new reporting as recently as this morning, that even Republicans in Washington, D.C., even on Fox News last night, this morning, Fox News is calling Trump's relationship with Putin, quote, weird, unquote, and peculiar, unquote. I think even people in his own party are saying, what's up with this guy? I want to read one more thing here, then back to Matt Flynn after this. The Washington Post says top commanders in conflict zones and senior military leaders stationed throughout Europe, the Middle East, Asia-Pacific region are among those expected to attend Hegseth's meetings of people familiar with the matter, who spoke on condition of anonymity because they weren't supposed to talk about it. The order does not apply to top military officers who hold staff positions, unquote. That's from the Washington Post story in this exclusive today. Matt Flynn, again, talk about the danger to the rank and file. When you're pulling out people, the COs, the commanding officers, from some of the most dangerous and volatile military station places around the world, when you take all those people out and put them in one spot, that's, I believe, unprecedented and not what military teachings at the academies would tell you, right?
Right. And it's potentially dangerous. But let me tell you the two layers of danger. One might be that they have all these guys together and somebody drones them, or Yemen and some of these places, when the top guy leaves, they take the chance of attack. I am less concerned about that, even though it's very real, because every flag officer has a deputy or a chief of staff who really is very good. What's much worse is that what message this sends to the rank and file, to sergeants, to enlisted men, to junior officers. I served, I was Lieutenant JG. And if my admiral was summoned and then came back, and it was sort of like he'd gone through a North Korean experience and suddenly loved Trump and all this, that sends a terribly demoralizing message to the rank and file. This is being done to show dominance. Trump himself is a draft dodger, bone spurs. He was too yellow to serve himself. So you have a yellow bone spurs calling all of our flag officers in to demoralize the military. Is there any Republican out there who thinks this is a good idea? If you do, you're more for Putin than you are for America.
Back to the Washington Post story. Says none of the people who spoke with the Washington Post could recall a defense secretary ever ordering so many of the military's generals and admirals to assemble like this. Several said it raised security concerns. To Matt's point, quote, people are very concerned. They have no idea what it means, unquote, one person said. Others expressed frustration that even many commanders stationed overseas will be required to attend Hegseth's impromptu summit, unquote. Let's go into a couple of minutes here before the break, Matt. We'll come back after this. But you touched on this earlier, that this is on the heels of several people either being forced to retire or outright firing. And there is a disproportionate, and the Washington Post story points this out, disproportionate number of women, in particular in command positions, who have been forced out. And it would seem to me, Matt, as the military, who has former Joint Chiefs of Staff Colin Powell, himself a Black American, said that the military historically has been a place of equalization for Americans. Right. And now this appears to be a step back.
People are forgetting three things, Todd. I agree with you. One is he called people suckers and losers. He did.
Trump,
people,
yes,
who had given their lives. He called them suckers and losers. Number two, through Tommy Tuberville, he stopped all flag promotions for 10 months and demoralized the military. Everything he does benefits Putin. And number three, to your point, to my knowledge, virtually every senior flag officer who is female or Black, like the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the CNO, he simply fired them.
Yeah.
He fired them.
Yeah.
Said it was woke to put a Black man or a woman in charge. Are you kidding me? And this is what's going on. And the Republican Party has knuckled under Trump. They're knuckling under Vladimir Putin.
Washington Post says the firings were the latest in a wider purge of national security agencies' top ranks. Since entering office, the Trump administration has also fired the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Charles Q. Brown Jr., the chief naval operations officer, the commandant of the Coast Guard, and the Air Force vice chief of staff, amongst others. The list includes a disproportionate number of women, according to the Washington Post. We'll come back, talk with Matt Flynn a little bit more about this. Also, in an underreported story, the government is set to shut down next week. Who is at fault? And what's Matt Flynn going to do in October? He'll give us his calendar update as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Todd. It's Matt. It's Zomers across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
Come see why Green Thumb Alternatives in Oshkosh is where the grass is always greener. At 600 Ohio Street, you can smell before you buy and chat with a staff that actually knows their stuff and cares. Locally owned, with locally grown products, they've got everything from flowers and edibles to bath products, pet treats, and even snacks for the munchies. The quality, next level. The service, personal. The vibes, always welcoming. Call 920-385-0686 or hit greenthumbalt.com.
Grab your lederhosen and your dirndls because it's Oktoberfest. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And Appleton Oktoberfest is this Saturday, September 27th, beginning as early as 9 a.m. There's going to be live music, bunch of tasty, amazing food vendors throughout College Avenue, arts and crafts, and a family fun area. So don't forget to grab your stein, dress up, and enjoy the fall Oktoberfest in Appleton. Check it out by going to WISS.FM, clicking events.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone.
Welcome back to Todd and Matt Direct. At 23 past the hour of 2 o'clock, whenever you hear that music, Johnny Cash, you know our friend Matt Flynn can't be far behind it. That is the case today. Two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, U.S. Navy veteran, attorney, and author Matt Flynn joins us from his library in beautiful Milwaukee. Now, well, I mean, they name a library after him, but he has a very nice library there in his home. We'll get to this in a minute, Matt, but how many of the books behind you have you actually written?
Well, I've written six books.
Six books, yeah.
We're going to have a reading and a launch of my newest one at Boswell Books in Milwaukee on October 14 at 6:30 p.m. So anybody listening, please come by Boswell Books, October 14, 6:30 p.m.
We'll repeat that one more time before we leave, and Zomers is going to put it in the show notes as well. Talk with Matt Flynn, he's a Renaissance man, you understand, Matt Flynn. He can come on this show and talk about a number of things, but we, in particular, I think it's important, Matt, on this story in the Washington Post today that Secretary of Defense, and I'm still calling it Secretary of Defense, I'm not going to call it Department of War, Hegseth is ordering a rare, I think the term unprecedented is in line here. As Gilligan would say on Gilligan's Island, not only that has never happened before, but Hegseth is bringing all these generals and flag officers to Quantico, Virginia, even ones who are stationed overseas, and they're not telling anyone, according to the Washington Post, including those in the military, why they're coming. And we're on the verge of a government shutdown. Matt, before we get to the government shutdown, give us a minute or so, just as a veteran, on the importance of doing things in a system and how that serves you if and when, God forbid, the military is called upon to take defensive action.
The chain of command is the core, I would say the core culture of the military. To give you an example, you take the Marine Corps, you take the Army guys that landed it on D-Day, they're told, go on that beach. They don't want to go on that beach. It's dangerous as hell, but they're told it by their lieutenants and captains because their lieutenants and captains are going with them. And the flag officer that orders it knows that a lot of them will be killed, but we need it to take the island. In the Navy, you're told during the Battle of Midway, the Battle of Leyte Gulf, I had a friend whose father was a gunnery officer in Leyte Gulf, all right, a destroyer, a cruiser, go that direction, take on that Japanese aircraft carrier. They may get blown out of the water. Many of them did. They do it because they obey the chain of command. When you have a guy like Trump, who's a draft dodger, flat out said he had bone spurs, is called the military suckers, losers, and for 10 months barred their promotions of flag officers. You have somebody who is trying to demoralize the flag officers who are the top. They're the generals and the admirals, and that seeps down. So if you're a sergeant, you're a seaman apprentice, you're a lieutenant JG, what's going on? It demoralizes, and the only purpose of this, there's no military purpose. The only purpose of this is to show dominance by Trump over them and to weed out people who he thinks aren't loyal to him. And with the government shutdown coming up, it's an important part of it, he's going to fire some of them to teach them a lesson and teach America a lesson.
One more question, Matt Flynn. When we look at what's happening in here domestically and Donald Trump deploying National Guard members in Washington, D.C., both active duty and National Guard members in Los Angeles, threatening to do so in Chicago, although the mayor and the governor there stood up to him and he backed down. He claims he's going to go into Memphis next. With seemingly, I'll call it, and you tell me if I'm overstating it, the militarization of the U.S. government in some of these domestic cities for, I believe, political reasons. Now we have a situation where we don't have an adjutant or a Joint Chiefs of Staff like General Milley, who just said, I'm not doing this. Now we're putting, yes, and I'm going to say men because they're all men, yes, men in these positions. Aren't we reaching a very dangerous time? I don't want to get people afraid, but I think our antennae should be up on this, Matt.
You're absolutely right. What we're doing is he is single-handedly trying to break the nonpartisan tradition of our military. And he's trying to look like a tough guy. He shoots a couple of speedboats with drugs in the Caribbean, that kind of thing. But he's not doing anything to help Poland, Romania, and Estonia, who've been threatened by Russia. Nothing to help Ukraine. What he is he's deliberately insulting our allies, Canada, humiliating them, NATO, and at the same time trying to look like a tough guy. Well, it's not just the draft dodger thing. It's not that he's a draft dodger because he had deep-seated convictions against war. What he was he was chicken to go. That's what it was. And now this clown is bringing in all of our people to try to demoralize them and to change the nonpartisan nature of the military and pretend to look tough on military matters when he's betraying NATO and betraying Ukraine, betraying our allies.
Time always goes too quickly, Matt Flynn, and we'll talk with Dan Schaefer coming up next about this government shutdown. But we have a minute left. I want to ask you, you have a new book out. You're going to be at a book signing at Boswell Books in Milwaukee, October 14th at 6:30. Zomers has the details there. One question, Republican gubernatorial candidate of Wisconsin, Bill Berrien, was he the basis for any of the characters in your new book?
I will say that given the proclivities of Berrien and Epstein and Trump and Hegseth and a list as long as your arm, the core message of this book, American Dawn, is hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. The Republicans that do this to this woman pay the ultimate price. You will like this book a lot. American Dawn, October 14, Boswell Books in Milwaukee and Downer Avenue, 6:30 p.m., book signing.
Bill Berrien bringing back Bill Clinton's triangulation in more ways than one. But Matt Flynn always giving us great information. Matt, I always appreciate you. Have a great day, my friends. Stay tuned. Dan Schaefer is next to recombobulate across Wisconsin. Bye-bye.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report. Artificial dyes. How can Wisconsin food manufacturers get around it? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. One ice cream maker in Chautauqua never had artificial dyes. His story next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Alan Kirshner from Kirshner Super Premium Ice Creams in Chautauqua has only been in business about a year. But from the very beginning, he decided they were not going to use artificial dyes at all.
We're the only ice cream shop in Wisconsin that has never used artificial dyes. So from the very beginning, that was before the national conversation on artificial dyes. We were doing it. We also don't use carrageenan. It's a kind of it's red seaweed. It's a cheap stabilizer that's virtually in almost all ice cream. That's why a lot of people, after they eat ice cream, after 20 minutes, their gut kind of irritates them. That may not necessarily be the dairy, but it typically is that carrageenan. We don't use that, so we're carrageenan free.
That's Alan Kirshner, owner, operator, and founder of Kirshner's Super Premium Ice Cream in Chautauqua. His dedication to a clean label on his super premium ice cream catapulted him to the grand champion spot of the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest in the category of ice cream, sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato. He'll be in Madison at World Dairy Expo on Monday to receive the award for his peanut butter chocolate ice cream.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
And keeping it dairy, the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association announced four exceptional dairy processors that have earned their inaugural Member Impact Awards. They include Organic Valley Crop Cooperative as Advocate of the Year, Masters Gallery Foods, the Employer of the Year, AgriPort Sustainable Stewardship Award, and Nasonville Dairy, the Culture of Excellence Award. Those awards will be presented October 21st. That's literally food news on a Thursday. I'm Pam Yonke. Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
Tons of sunshine not only today, tomorrow, but for the entire weekend and even into next week. And unseasonably warm, too. Highs today reach the mid-70s. Tomorrow, we slip to 70. And for the weekend, high temperatures flirt with 80. Enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Broadcasting live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm. We talk to the Reisingers about their family farming tradition, the Farmer Angel Network about the mental health crisis impacting agricultural communities, and last, the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space. And as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
I mean, we need a recombobulation area.
We all need a recombobulation area. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. Aaron Zommer is on the board. And with that introduction, it can only mean that one person is on the other side. He is the political editor for Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. You can find all of his work, include that of the all the folks at the Recombobulation Area, at therecombobulationarea.news. TheRecombobulationArea.news. Dan Schaefer, live from Milwaukee, Cream City, USA. How are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. Always wonderful to join you here on the Todd Alba Show. And you're right. There can be no one else who that introduction could possibly apply to other than yours truly here at the Recombobulation Area. Always fun to hear that one.
It is. It is. It's a great intro. We appreciate you taking the time. You're a busy guy, Dan. I don't know where to begin. We've got new people jumping into the gubernatorial race on both sides of the aisle. One of the guys is looking up thruples and attacking people's sex lives at the same time. We've got a government that's on the verge of shutdown in Washington, D.C. I wish there was a term for how I felt right now.
Are you feeling a little discombobulated here, Mr. Alba? Could that possibly be it? Is that how you're feeling today?
You nailed it. I am feeling very discombobulated.
Well, it's a good thing I'm here to help piece things back together, you know, help you get your bag together, you head to your gate, get your shoes back on, right? All of those things that we need to do at the Recombobulation Area.
It's great to have you here because there is so much going on. Should we start with the gubernatorial race, Dan? Because I know you've been working on a new piece at the recombobulationarea.news on that.
Sure, let's start there. Wrote a piece published today about Tom Tiffany throwing his hat into the ring for the race for governor. It seems like he has kind of sort of been campaigning for the past few months, but he made it official with an announcement on the Dan O'Donnell Show Tuesday afternoon. Had an event in Wausau yesterday. We had some coverage there at Civic Media from our news team as well. Just really taking a look at Tom Tiffany and his candidacy, and I think he is very likely to be the Republican nominee for governor in Wisconsin for the 2026 election. And I think part of that is because, you know, he's a thrice elected congressman, been raising his profile in the media over the past in recent years and months and whatever. But I also think it's a kind of a lackluster field. And so I think Tom Tiffany comes into this race. I think he is perhaps a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field for the Republican primary. But I also think when you look ahead to his prospects for the general election, I think it gets a little bit complicated for him, gets a little bit tricky. But I do think Tiffany's announcement is the most significant one that we have seen on the Republican side of this first open race for governor since 2010.
Tom Tiffany, former state senator here, and, did a lot of, in my opinion, bad things legislatively to change environmental laws to allow mining in northern Wisconsin as part of former Republican Governor Scott Walker's, again, my words, sham piece of legislation. He claimed he was going to create thousands of jobs, mining jobs in northern Wisconsin, and to my knowledge, there have been zero. But the laws did get changed, environmental laws, mm-hmm. and Tom Tiffany was a large part of changing those in his state Senate district at the time. And that's why he gets this name, Toxic Tom Tiffany, which I think is deserved. But to your point, I think it's also fair, as a former Republican myself, I think you're right because of, you know, we've already seen, I believe, Tony Weed, Congressman Tony Weed of the 8th Congressional District has endorsed him today. My sense mm-hmm. is it's going to be, you know, not an avalanche, but a drip of next will be Fitz and then Grothman or whoever. I think he's got the, if there is an establishment Republican Party anymore, he probably has that. But to your also to your point, yeah, I don't think he plays well statewide in general, but do you think that Trump's just going to hold on? I mean, I think Trump looks at this like The Apprentice, the old TV show. And I'm not sure that he doesn't want to see a little chaos in Wisconsin and have him fight it out a little bit. I don't think he wants to just crown somebody right away. What do you think?
Well, what do you think? He wants a little bit of a reality TV drama to unfold here in the primary. Yeah,
yeah.
You could be right about that. But, you know, and I guess there's a little bit of a kind of version of that happening with Bill Berrien and the news about him this week.
Well, you mentioned thrice elected. Speaking of thruples, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. As long as people are of age and it's consensual, whatever people want to do consensually in their own bedrooms, hey, have at it, have fun. Who am I to judge? But it's the fact that Bill Berrien has made it part of his campaign to attack marginalized people, particularly on sexual spectrums, and also, taking morality from his faith and putting it into politics, that he's basically being a hypocrite because Dan Bice in the state or the Journal Sentinel did some research and kind of exposed Mr. Berrien for being a hypocrite.
Yeah, all those issues aside, and that's perhaps a separate conversation that we could have sometime. I don't think it helps him in a Republican primary.
No.
I don't think it helps him politically by any stretch of the imagination. I've seen some people say that that he should drop out or his campaign is over or whatever it might be. And again, what somebody does in their own personal business is none of our business. But I think when you're looking at it from a political standpoint, it's not something that's going to help him politically. And I don't think his campaign was really going anywhere before that story was happening either.
Spent a lot of money on ads.
He spent a lot of money. But I think, compared to some of the other campaigns we've seen from self-funders on the Republican side in Wisconsin, be it Tim Michaels running for governor a few years ago, or Eric Hovde running for Senate last year, I think Berrien's announcement landed flat compared to either of them, even to begin with. And now he's got this whole other set of issues that he's dealing with as well. So I don't think he has a great chance of winning in this primary. I also don't think Josh Shulman's campaign, Washington County executive, he's a young guy. He's energetic. He's working hard. He's going traveling all over the state. I think it's significant that he hasn't picked up any major endorsements since May, since he launched his campaign. So he may be, continuing on this path in the primary. But if Donald Trump endorses Tom Tiffany, which he could do, we don't know.
Right.
And Tiffany has a strong fundraising quarter, because I think that is one of the knocks on Tiffany, is that he has not been a particularly prolific fundraiser. He's in a deep red district. He doesn't have to fundraise the way that some people in more competitive districts might have to, but he still hasn't done very well. Like, this was when his name came up as a possible candidate for Senate a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and then he had a really bad fundraising quarter, and it was like, well, that's the end of that. He's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be in the mix there. So, you know, remains to be seen how this goes, but I do think Tiffany walks into this as the clear leader in the primary of the three candidates who have announced so far, three major candidates who have announced so far. And I think he is by far the most likely candidate to secure the Republican nomination for governor.
And just to put a fine tip on it, poor choice of words, on Bill Berrien, I think you're right. Whatever people do in their personal lives, normally it wouldn't be news. So people go, well, why is Todd bringing this up? He's just doing it to be goofy or whatever. No. The reason I believe that it is news and should be talked about is because Berrien made it news by coming out forcefully against the very issues that, by the way, he does not deny Bice's reporting on this. And he's simply saying, well, they're trying to come after me. So he clearly was looking at these or part of the social media platform that is into different sexual exploits or whatever you want to call it. But it's the fact that he is a hypocrite on it. And that is why it's news, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah, that is. I mean, it's, you know, he's staked out a pretty anti-trans rights,
gay rights
position.
Whatever.
Yeah, anti-LGBT rights, however you want to characterize it, in his platform, in his announcement video. And, you know, the fact that he is, yeah.
looking up, and also, I think, some of the
chatter that I've heard, too, is just shows that he's kind of not ready for prime time as if he's got this kind of stuff out there so, that he's not taking care of his online footprint. You know, that's going to be a problem, too.
So to your point, let's say that Tiffany makes it through. And by the way, we have some audio from Tom Tiffany's announcement. He had a breakfast up on the farm. Zomerins, this is from the announcement. Here we go.
What about breakfast at Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the girl, and as I recall, I think.
Wait, that was not from Tom Tiffany's announcement?
I thought it was.
Oh, sorry.
I guess I need to do a better job at fact-checking.
See, this is why Schaefer thinks he has a reputation. Ugh. You understand? He has a reputation. He doesn't need this dog and pony show.
you got us all there, Todd. Yeah, you got us.
Well, we set that up a little bit beforehand. But let's say that Tiffany makes it through the Republican primary. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
Let's talk. I mean, already... And we brought this up with Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kreitlow yesterday. If you look at people, whether it's Jim Doyle on the Democratic side or Tommy Thompson on the Republican side, other people as well, historically when you run for a statewide office, in particular governor, you want to think forward. I want to be your governor because this is what we can do together. And it seems like to me in Tom Tiffany's announcement, he's immediately saying how horrible Wisconsin is, how horrible everything is, and picks some very, in my opinion, hateful things to pick out specific, very small minority people in our state to pick on in order to get this nomination. And I don't think that plays well.
I think you're, but it's what we've kind of come to expect from the MAGA Republicans, and I think part of it is just playing to the base as well. I think that's the type of candidate that I think we should expect Tiffany to be. I don't think he is going to be the type of candidate that is going to be the moderate that has all kinds of crossover appeal in the state. Right. I think he is going to be a candidate that the goal is to turn out the base. And I think the goal is to kind of run up margins in some of the reddest counties in the state. And I think it also is, you know, kind of exemplifies an interesting shift that we're seeing for the Republican Party in Wisconsin, too, because forever the stronghold was the WOW counties. The Republican stronghold was Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties. The three historically deep red counties surrounding Milwaukee. Well, those counties have continued to purple election after election. You know, Tim Michaels was the first candidate to get under 60% in Waukesha County in forever, first Republican to get under 60 in forever. Mm-hmm. So I think it is exemplifies the type of shift that we're seeing in the Republican Party as the base there being some of the more rural, exurban Western Wisconsin, Northern Wisconsin areas that Tiffany is, you know, I think the goal would be to run up bigger numbers in some of those rural areas and try to maintain in the suburbs. But I think Tiffany's going to really have some trouble in the Milwaukee area suburbs in particular. He does not have strong name recognition around here. And I think the trends there are undeniable. And I think they could accelerate with a candidate who is not really well known, doesn't have strong ties to the region.
That is the Republican side of the governor's race. More Democrats getting in as well. What's it going to take to win the Democratic primary without being seen as too far left in the general? We'll ask Dan Schaefer after this. Take your phone calls. And Giannis, are signs that he really is going to stay in Wisconsin? Dan Schaefer has the inside track on that. We'll ask him after this on the All Ball Show.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour, 3 o'clock. Coming up at hour two, a little what's worse for you. Fall allergies or spring allergies, we'll discuss. Keegan Kelly is here from Crack.com on the return of Jimmy Kimmel to ABC and what it means for late night and free speech and your chance to participate in Civic Media's Green and Gold text to win contest. But you're already a winner if you're listening into today's show, because you're here on the day when our own Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, is here to help us recombobulate. Dan, always a pleasure to have you here. And Zomeris reminds me that Think We Alone, it's by Tiffany.
That's the only reason I played it.
There we go.
Which I we're about talking about.
We're going to get some mileage out of that over the next year.
Gubernatorial candidate.
I'm guessing some Tiffany puns.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Troy in Mount Horeb. Troy, do you have a comment or question quick for Dan?
Yeah, real quick. You were getting to the Democrats. How worried should we be? In 2016, Trump basically partially at least got the nomination because there were so many candidates in the field that they split each other's votes, and all of a sudden this lunatic Trump wins the nomination. How worried do we have to be that the four or five, if Call gets in, quote-unquote normal candidates split their vote, and these two other lunatics, Halsey and the beer guy, one of them get in?
That's a great question, Troy. I appreciate it. Dan Schaefer, let's talk Democratic candidates for governor of Wisconsin.
Well, I think a big primary, you know, it's so interesting because I think there's a lot of different perspectives that we got to get out. And I don't think, you know, I don't think the beer guy, as an example, has a great shot of coming through that primary. No. But I think there's, of course, going to be some concern that, like, somebody who would win with not a plurality of the or not a majority of the votes might not be as representative. But I think Wisconsin Democrats are also taking some steps to ensure that they have a more clear passing of the torch. They announced this initiative this week that Tony Evers is going to be involved with post primary next year. So I think there's an acknowledgement there that there is going to be a competitive primary that's going to last through next August. And they want to be in position to be able to, you know, kind of pick up that torch and get across the finish line from there.
We've had all the major Democratic candidates on the show for governor thus far. I'm very impressed. And the latest one was Francesca Hong here from Madison. And was thankful she came on. Admire her convictions, that she believes what she says. She's authentic. And also, I said, you know, while she was on the interview, I said, look, I've been tough on you from time to time. You're further left than on some things, not all, but some things. And I said, also, the style, is that really going to play well if you're the nominee in the general? I thought she had a great answer. She was very kind, and she help me out, keep me honest, Somers, but to paraphrase, she basically said, look, the issues, and she named off healthcare and other things. She said, I don't think those are progressive or left or right. I think they're Wisconsin issues, and I think it plays well for all Wisconsinites. I thought it was a great answer, and she comported herself very well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in her announcement video from last week, too, you know, she talked about issues like childcare and healthcare and paid leave, like a lot of issues that have not passed in Wisconsin, but if you look at the polling, they are often ones that have pretty significant majority support as well. So I think, you know, her campaign is off to a pretty compelling start, as is, you know, I think Kelda Roy's also last week announced her campaign. You know, she's a regular here on the Todd Alba Show as well. So your listeners know her well, especially around Madison. So I think we're going to have a really I'm looking forward to the conversations that this primary is going to bring out, because I think the Democratic Party nationally is in such disarray. And sometimes Wisconsin can lead the way when things are at a change moment. And I think we are at a change moment. And I think what Wisconsin voters ultimately decide is going to have ramifications that reverberate nationally, too.
You gave us your guess on the Republican side. You think Tom Tiffany is going to be the nominee. I won't ask you for a decisive prediction. But if the election were held today, who's the Democratic nominee?
I really don't know. Because I think so much is going to depend on, you know, if Josh Call announces, if Mandela Barnes announces, you know, if they jump into the race. I think that could really change the dynamic. But I think, you know, when I did my too early preview at the Recombobulation Area, which I published about a month ago, the big four, the kind of the top four potential challengers that I had there were Sarah Rodriguez, Kelda Royce, David Crowley, and Josh Call. So I think any of those four could have a real chance. And then I think Francesca Hong's the wild card, and she's, as I put in that column, and I think she's embraced that moniker a little bit in her campaign as well. So we'll see.
I mean, there's the straw poll at the state Dem Party convention this year. I you know, my gut tells me if the people that have announced, just out of those people, I think it's a really tight matchup between Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez and State Senator Kelda Royce. I think they're the most well-known statewide right now for Democrats. But like you say, not everybody is probably in. We shall see. About a minute or so left here, a little over, Dan. Our Milwaukee Bucks, but nobody loves the Bucks more than our own Dan Schaefer. Giannis Antetokounmpo's brother has been re-signed for, what, another year. Is that a good sign that Giannis ain't going anywhere?
I think so. You sign Thanasis. He's not gonna play with anybody else other than his brother, right? So you know, I'm glad they signed him. He's the best 15th man in NBA history, helping keep his brother in Milwaukee, providing so much energy from the sidelines and enthusiasm for the team whenever he hits the court. I love having Thanasis around. I'm looking forward to the Bucks season. We got less than a month away.
I know, right?
Until we've got Bucks basketball.
Crazy. Have you got postseason Brewer tickets, Dan?
I don't have the tickets yet. I haven't decided what I want to do for that.
What a season!
So we'll see.
The feeling living in Milwaukee. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps out here in Madison. It has to be incredible living in Milwaukee right now.
It is incredible. You know, I live on the side of town that's closer to the stadium, kind of on the west side of town. And like a lot of the bars and places around here have those shuttle buses that go to and from American Family Field. They are packed these days. It's a busy place. People are excited. So a lot of energy. Looking forward to a fun October.
Find all of Dan's work at therecombobulationarea.news. Dan Schaefer, thanks so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Todd. Be well.
All right. Take care. Dan Schaefer, everybody.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and authorities in Texas say yesterday's gunman who killed one detainee and wounded two others intended to target ICE officers.
The 29-year-old shooter acted alone, according to investigators, firing a bolt-action rifle he bought legally in August. Inside his apartment, handwritten notes were found, according to acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson.
He wrote that he intended to maximize lethality against ICE personnel and to maximize property damage at the facility.
ICE says the injured detainees were shackled and could not leave the van on their own while it was under fire, but that ICE and ATF agents ran into the line of fire to rescue detainees who were in the van. Alex Stone, EBC News.
Israel is carrying out retaliatory strikes in Yemen today, targeting Houthi rebels, it says, after a drone hit southern Israel yesterday, injuring at least 20. President Trump expected to sign a TikTok deal to keep the China-based app from being banned in the U.S. This is ABC News.